morning and welcome to Get Enlightened with me, Lauren Scott. I'm so excited to have you all here, and I'm so excited to have my good friend Justin Griffith, also known as GOAT, Grades of Absolute Truth. Welcome to the podcast.
What's happening? Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for getting on with me, friend.
For sure.
I guess we should start with your socials so everybody can follow all your stuff.
Oh, that's easy. At Music by GOAT. And website is gradesofabsolutetruth.com.
Awesome, awesome. And then let's link in, I guess. Do you have anything else? Do you have anything coming up?
Oh, I always have things coming up. Absolutely. I must keep a lot of stuff on my calendar to look forward to because that's the only way I stay excited about living is looking looking into the future and releasing more little miniature song babies into the world. So, actually, when is this going to be released?
So we are releasing this in 2 weeks. So anything? What do you have like in the beginning of April? Yeah,
April.
What do you got going on in April?
So April
right now, like 2 weeks before, but guys, we're releasing it in 2 weeks. So yes, let's talk about April. What you got going in April?
Yes, April is going to be crazy busy for me. I think I have 7 performances and 2 different song releases in April. So I play in Midlothian a couple of times. One time being the Midlothian Wine and Arts Festival. I'm playing in Waxahachie at a winery. I'm playing the Deep Ellum Community Arts Fair in Deep Ellum, which is kind of somewhat the replacement of the Deep Ellum Arts Festival. That's when it kind of stepped in, and this is the second annual DCAF. So I'll be a part of that. A huge, huge, huge event and a huge honor is happening on April 13th, I am the official host of the Circle of Support ceremony at the National MS Society's Walk MS Dallas event.
Oh, that's amazing.
And yes, so that's going to be a gigantic, awesome, positive event that I'm a part of. April 13th, I'm playing in Arlington at Troy's on the 22nd, and I'm playing at Life's Good Bar and Grill on Greenville Avenue, April 27th. And then I have a brand new song coming out April 4th called I'll Be Me. It's the first song of my Diagnosed album. And then I have the second single of that album coming out toward the end of April as well. So lots of good stuff happening.
Yeah, for real. I think I'm going to use that as the title because that's perfect for literally what we're going to be talking about during this episode.
Dope.
So, guys, now you know everywhere you can check him out. Obviously, you can tell that he's into music. And let's start with how we met.
All right.
Well, I guess the first time we've ever met was at Rock Pit.
Like, uh-huh.
What, 12 years ago?
Probably 12 years ago, yeah.
About 12 years ago, and we have been friends ever since. I'm pretty sure that we, like, have kicked it way back in the day, except that's all a blur, and I don't even remember, like, way back in Deep Ellum days. We had to.
Yeah, we'll keep that on the hush-hush, too, you know.
We have too many connections for not interpassing there, you know what I mean?
No lie.
Let's start with your story because your story is beautiful and has so many twists and turns to where you are now. First of all, Justin is a teacher. You work for Dallas ISD, is that correct?
No, Midlothian.
Midlothian.
Yep.
Isn't that I guess that's not the same. It's close, but not that close.
Yeah, it's south, suburb south of Dallas, yeah. This is my 19th year. I've been at the same school teaching kindergarten through fifth grade and now starting at at the beginning of this year that we're into right now, I started doing pre-K as well. So pre-K through fifth grade, elementary music, like general music teacher. So yeah, 19 years.
And
Woo!
the best, I love the little videos of you teaching them music. It's awesome. He has been my child since he was 4 years old, 5 years old, 4 or 5, when we started going out to Rock Pit. And you're just so good with kids, and you're so good, I mean, obviously musically.
Well,
So
thank you. Appreciate that.
absolutely. Let's start with your story. How did you get into music? Have you always wanted to be a music teacher? Did you always want to have to sing? Let's start. Tell the world.
All right, I guess my first love was acoustic guitar. And that happened around 13 or 14. Prior to that, I felt like I was a pretty musical kid. My mom tells me stuff like I'd recognize melodies from songs at a really, really early age, and she's kind of attracted to that. And since I got an acoustic guitar, that was really kind of it just changed the course of everything. So that's really all I've been interested in since then. Writing, because at the end of the day, I see myself as, yes, a musician, but a songwriter is probably, if I had to choose one individual title, it would be that for sure. But writing started as a therapy, kind of a release thing, very personal and intimate, and not anything that I would share with other people for quite a few years. That's where it all started. Of course, I did choir, junior high through all the way through college. Always played in bands, not in band at school, but played in rock, heavy metal, blues bands, from junior high all the way through college. And eventually kind of started getting sick of working with other people. So I started kind of developing skills with audio engineering and how to do as much stuff as I possibly could by myself without help from anyone else. So started building up, home studio even when I was still living with my parents in high school. And that's when I kind of started veering toward a little more in the hip hop realm. So I've always lived in the gray area of genres as far as, what kind of music that I've written, and I've never been dedicated to one genre ever because that's just not how I'm built. And I don't, back in the day, it used to be kind of an issue here and there, especially with booking, but I really have grown to embrace the variety and the, I was about to say eclecticism. I don't even know if that's a word, but just like, just doing my thing. I'm gonna be putting out a song that might sound in the country realm, and then the next song I put out might feel straight up like underground hip hop.
I think that's
And
what's so great about you, though, is that you do a little bit of everything. It's not, I mean, even still today, like your genre is hip hop, but you play everything when you go to the shows with you. Like, you're not just hip hop, you can play anything, and it's amazing.
thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
It's not an intentional thing as far as the genre thing. It's just like I kind of just go where I think the song should go. And as far as what I listen to, I'm all over the place too. So it's just a natural thing that the music just guides me wherever, I just follow along.
Do you think there was a point in your childhood, or like, when you, what age were you when you started songwriting itself? How old were
I
you?
would say about 14 or 15 is when I started taking an interest in poetry and just, putting down my emotions and my feelings on paper.
And how long until you released, were
I
comfortable with it?
mean, it was a long time. I mean, even after I would write songs, the only people that were hearing my personal songs were real close friends of mine that I'd be kicking it with on the weekend or whatever, and there'd be a guitar around and I'd kind of like share. But and also, you know, it was a very different time when we were growing up. It's not as easy. It wasn't as easy to just throw something. Yeah.
There's nothing that you could just throw something together and put it out there for the people.
Yes. Very, very different than how it is now, of course. And it'll continue to keep evolving and changing, and just got to kind of keep up with it. But I think the first time that I released a project by myself, like as a solo artist, was in 2000. And, you know, I hope none of y'all have heard it, but that was like an official public thing that I pressed on. I think I pressed up like 500 CDs and were hustling those, you know, and selling and promoting and blah, 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 blah back then. And then from there, it just kind of, like, I was pretty consistent with releasing music since then. So my catalog of what I've accomplished and released over the years is pretty untouchable. Yeah. comparatively. So
do you think that with the internet and streaming and all of that available, does it bother you to hear some of these kids that get TikTok famous over so-called music, knowing all of the hard work that you did, that, you know, our age had to do anything as far as get the word out there? Because, I mean, doesn't it frustrate the people who, like, work their ass off? I mean,
you know, it's one of those things that if you want to get pissy about stuff, it's real easy to, but I work hella hard to not get pissy about stuff that I know I cannot change. And it's nobody's fault. I mean, at the end of the day, if I was growing up in the realm of how things are now, then I would be taking advantage of every possible thing that was available to me. You know, that it's just, it's a different time period. It's kind of, you know, if I was going to get mad about that kind of stuff, it'd be like the old man that's talking shit about the kids that are doing this and that. It's like, hey man, that's where we're at. And I can either evolve with it and try to get with the new program, or I can sit down and lay down and be like, well, I'm just going to keep releasing CDs when nobody even has a damn CD player anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the whole point that I was trying to get to, is, you know, the evolving and the growing, and, you know, you're teaching these young kids. So you're able to say, hey, back in the day, the old man, you know, our parents,
yeah,
and they had to like walk to school or some shit.
Totally. Yeah.
I have no idea how I had to pedal CDs out of my back of my car. You know, all you have to do is like push a little button, and it's literally live to everybody. So
yeah,
I think that goes to show that every day you make that choice on whether you want to look at that as a positive or a negative. And I think our age in particular has to learn to make that choice, because either at this point we're going to continue to grow and teach our children to grow with us, or you stop and, you know, don't grow at all, and you're just constantly living.
That's it. And something that I always try to remember too is, yeah, I mean, music is my industry, but the evolution of stuff is, it's obvious and apparent in all industries. It's kind of like whatever industry, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, but you know, if you had, people call the dinosaurs, like the older people that they work with that just refuse to learn the new, you know, computer program or the new whatever, whatever. I mean, eventually you get phased out. That would happen to musicians in a sense too. But you know, the other thing, thinking back on how music used to be industry wise, when I was a kid, or when we were kids, we're about the same age. Like when we were growing up, if you wanted to make a living off of music, there was a pretty specific kind of path that you had to go down. Like you needed to get signed to a label, and you needed them. And something big that's changed is that, my goal was always to find a way to make a living from music, and I have. And teaching is a part of that, of course, but it's all of the other things that I've opened myself up to. And back in the day, like that wasn't a thing. You didn't hear of independent musicians that can make a living from releasing music and hustling and pushing merch and doing this and that. So it's kind of like everything else. There's positives and there's negatives. And yes, it's oversaturated with millions of songs getting released every day, but you just got to decide, do you want to do it or do you not? And there's no way I could not release music. It's just always going to be a part of me.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that you taught me personally is when I was wanting to do this podcast and I wasn't sure if I was really going to release it or not. I kept going back and forth and you're like, just do it. Like, it doesn't matter. It'll find the right people. And I think that's exactly what, you're talking about is we live in this generation, our generation specifically, where, we didn't have the internet and stuff growing up, but we got it like more in like the college years, or at least in mine, the internet came out when I was in college. And so we've had to adapt more than our parents, more than their parents, to learning the different methods of staying with it. And what our next step is always has to be like learning, learning whatever is put out there. And I think that's something that's going to continue. But just do it. So I think that's something that I wanted you to say to the audience, because you have been doing songwriting and putting yourself out there for so long that there's so many people that just want to take that first step. So what would be the very first thing that you would tell somebody starting off in the music industry? What would be the advice that you would give them?
Make sure that you're doing it for the correct reasons. Okay, pause real quick. Okay, it just went away. Hold on a sec. I was getting an echo, like a very, very strong delay and echo. Okay, it's gone. My bad. Okay, yeah, that's I would say make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, and make sure that it's something that you really enjoy doing. It's not something that is easy. You just jump in. I mean, I was preaching to my kids 2 hours ago about this. The idea of being successful quickly is not a thing unless you are incredibly lucky. There's always a chance that you'll just pick up something super easily, or be at the right place at the right time. But that is not a common thing these days. On the other hand, like these kids have a different type of brain than we do. You know what I mean? And what they're exposed to, as far as whatever, getting TikTok famous or being a YouTuber or, all these different things that are, options to them these days. It's possible and it's doable, but what nobody understands, or not many people understand, is
It's work.
when it is so much work,
It's so
and you're
much work.
not the only thing. I mean, it's just, I compare it a lot to when people decide that they want to date a working musician, and they're going to shows and they see the performance. It's exciting. But what no one or very few people understand is the preparation and all of the other stuff that comes along with it. It is not just all fun and games.
That's what I used to say about event planning. Because you know, when you put it out there, everybody's like, oh, this is so amazing. This event was great. Oh, great. It took me a year. It took me a year of hard ass work for your 8 hours of enjoyment. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, well, it's the same way for like two or three. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's insane. And I think that that is something that is not known or talked about. Hello, puppy dog.
Yep, that's Cricket.
Hey, Cricket.
She's sweet but vicious. Sweet to the family, but vicious to anybody outside the circle, as dogs should be.
That's how it should be, my friend. That's what I'm saying. All right, now let's go a little bit deeper because we went to Rock Pit. Was it a week after you got your diagnosis?
I can't remember.
It was. You had just been diagnosed. You hadn't told very many people. We'd been friends for 3 or 4 years at this point, so family. And when you told us, I think we were all so shocked. So can you step into your diagnosis with MS? And not only from when you got diagnosed, but how you're doing now, how that's going to affect your future, and how you're preparing for it.
Yes, so I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2016, and it was a very long process getting to the official diagnosis. Very long story as well, so I'm not going to go into all of it, but it dates back to, and the story began back in 2008. And things did not surface, and we didn't get to an official diagnosis until much later. But a lot of it is tied into music because I was doing I'm a teacher, so I'm off during the summer. I started these I Feed You, Feed Me dinner tours where I would perform in people's homes. And of course I did one with you guys, but during one of those tours, I started having issues with my left hand, my left hand and my left wrist. And I thought it was carpal tunnel, and it ended up not being that. And I got some scans that we could compare to previous scans that I did back in 08. And there were, back in 08, there was, oh, I'm getting the delay again.
Just on your
head. Hey. Okay, cool. So, I did scans back in 2008, and there were a couple of lesions that were found on my brain. And when we did scans again in 2016, they compared them, and there were many more lesions. And that's when the official diagnosis came about. The issues started spreading up my arms, so it was really affecting my guitar playing and exercising and just quite a few things that I love to do and are passionate about. So it's a big concern. And, you know, once you hit the diagnosis, then you got to start figuring out treatments, and, you know, that's a whole nother step. So there's so many different layers of madness that comes along with getting a big diagnosis, and it kind of spinned me out for several years. But these days I have been really super dedicated and religious with my treatment and with my health, and have made a lot of changes and have coped with it in my own personal ways. Not everything that I've done has been good and healthy, but at this point right now, I feel pretty good about where I'm at, and the issues are manageable, and I have no idea what my future is going to be. And something that I tell myself frequently when it comes to that, is that nobody else knows what's going to happen in the future either. So even if
That
you do
is
not.
exactly why I asked the question, because it's my favorite answer to that question, possibly say.
Yes.
Because no, we don't. And we have to live in the present, right? We have to be doing what we can do. Yep, see, agrees.
Yeah.
We have to be,
Crickets like word.
we have to be able to do what's best for us in the present and live every day to the fullest. And I think, Mr. Goat, that you have definitely done that. I mean, you are so positive and so into keeping that healthy lifestyle that it's just a beautiful thing to see, because I really think that a lot of people that get diagnosed with it, they do go into a depression. They do feel like they're alone. And I can see how that's done as well. You know what I mean? So again, it's that viewpoint of positive or negative and choosing every day if you're going to live and wake up and deal with it. Because I mean, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do about it. It is what it is,
Yes.
right? When I got
Yeah,
that
right.
answer, that's exactly how I felt. Like, you can't, okay, what's our next step? You just live that day, every day, to what's my next step and how can I make myself healthy and better?
For
And
sure.
that's something that you've done. So can you tell the world, like, what if they've been diagnosed with MS, what is something that you would like to say about that as far as somebody who's just been diagnosed that was in your going through it?
I could say a lot, and I'll try to keep it kind of short. But the main thing is you have to listen to yourself and not other people, because everybody is so unique with how they cope and how they deal with big news like that. And going back to what you said about going into depression, like that was all a part of my acceptance too. I had a friend that I knew through the scene that was diagnosed around the same time, and I can remember trying, like, kind of comparing our diagnoses to each other because he was immediately public about it, and I think I went 3 years without, maybe even 4 years without being public about the diagnosis. And that's because I simply know myself and I knew that I didn't want people coming at me with stuff.
Well,
I
and how
wasn't
many people are
prepared for
asking
that.
you if you're okay? I think that
Yes.
was my biggest thing with cancer. I kept it a secret from everybody,
Yeah.
the very first time I got it. And do I have regrets about that? Yeah, I do now looking back on it. I do. But I don't at the same time, because I dealt with it the best way that I possibly could. But I think it's important that people hear that, because when you get such a big diagnosis, you go into your own shell.
Yeah.
It's easy to shut out the world. Like, it's easy. So what are your
Yeah,
go ahead.
one thing that I definitely did was I distracted myself with several things that were not healthy, but I don't regret any of it because for whatever reason, that's what I felt like I needed to do to get to
Right.
wherever I'm at. And yeah, so I mean, I'm not tripping about it. And like, you keeping your diagnosis secret, that's something like you felt like you needed to do that. So that's okay. Whatever you think you need to happen, that's what you need to do. And you don't need to feel guilty. Like something that I embraced during my diagnosis was that, I'm a big people pleaser, and I tried to wean myself off of that quite a bit because it was time for me to be concerned with what's going on with myself before I need to deal with other people's stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, that was a really bizarre realization because I started seeing shifts in a lot of my relationships with people because I acted different. And you know, people are either going to ride with you or they ain't. And sometimes things happen and it derails sometimes relationships.
People come into your lives for a reason, seasons. You know, I think what is not talked about is that it's okay. That it's okay mm-hmm. for people to just come in and out of your life for a season. Not everybody's going to be there the whole time.
And, for sure.
And when you get a diagnosis like that and you actually go into yourself and you really figure out, this is what I need. These are my boundaries. This is how I'm going to handle it. This is what I'm going to do. The people that don't ride along with you, they're not supposed to.
Yeah. True that. True that. I agree with you 100%.
You know, and but while you're going through it, that it sucks. I will tell you. It does suck because you're like, wait a minute, what happened? All these people that had my back and that I thought were my friends, you know, it's so bullshit. But yeah, it's
between that getting older, people, you know, moving here and there, and COVID, my circle has. It's tightened up a lot. Yeah, it's a pretty small circle. And then on top of that, with ongoing struggles with family members and stuff like that, like your circle can get very small quickly.
yeah. Hey, as long as you keep the people that you need around you, that's all that matters. And you know, you've got a great circle.
Oh yeah, I do. I got awesome people around me.
You really, really do. Okay, so let's use that to talk about your future. He just got a house, guys, with Miss Brandy.
Yes.
We should have her on.
That would be an interesting podcast for sure.
It would be fun. And this is your first house to buy, right? You had the condo in Deep Ellum, and y'all are experiencing just starting completely fresh.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. So basically, I bought a loft in Deep Ellum about 12 years ago, and it was never meant for anybody to live there except for me. It was pretty small space. I built a little home studio in there to work in, and Brandy and her daughter Macy were in McKinney when Brandy and I started seeing each other, and so Brandy moved in with me in the loft about 3 years ago. And then, you know, we were planning on saving up for about 6 months and then looking at houses, and then the whole world went crazy and the market went nuts, and she ended up being in there for 3 years. So we finally made a decision to build. So we started building a house about a year ago. And
if you can make it through a build, you can make it through anything.
And yeah, so we
redoing a house like completely like gutting and redoing all of that, those are the two things that usually break up a relationship. Did you know that?
It's a lot. Yeah, it's stressful and it's a lot, but it's also it's worth it. You know, it's a big shift though, going from, you know, from Deep Ellum to suburb. But we closed in January and moved in, and yeah, we basically just we sold and got rid of everything and started over. And so it's been kind of a cleansing experience, and it's been dope. Like it's been stressful, but eventually it's gonna be awesome. Right now we're getting there.
Well, you're just getting settled.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Too, it takes 6 months to even get settled.
Yeah, like, it does.
Unpack the boxes, you know. Mm-hmm. So you're you're on the right track, Goat. You're on the right track.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be dope. Cricket's got a backyard now. So,
That's how Cookie is. She's so excited about it. Old people things. We go from talking about music to MS to building houses.
Hey, you know, it's the... This is the path, you know.
This is the relatable path of being in our 40s.
That's it, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for jumping on and talking about your journey, because it really has been a beautiful journey to see you. I mean, you're always performing. Oh, let me just hype you up a little bit, because can you please tell them everybody that you've opened up for? Like, first of all, my kid went to his very first concert. Let's tell him who.
So that, I'm trying to remember when that was.
Like two years ago?
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So, and that was up at Lava for Bone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah. So there's a long list.
There's a long list. Like Tone Loc.
Yeah, Tone Loc, B.O.B., Lupe Fiasco. I've played with Bone twice. And a lot of the hip hop artists that we've rocked with has been with the Barnyardists. So I do my solo stuff. As great,
both of y'all on, so y'all can talk about that, because
totally.
You have your solo, and then you have with Jackrabbit with the Barnyard.
Yeah, which totally different vibe, kind of, but similar stuff. But yeah, I have my solo stuff, Grades of Absolute Truth, and then I have a hip hop project called the Barnyardists, but. Yeah, I've played with Leon Bridges and the Revivalists and Everlast, Mod Sun, Wax, Cody Cannon of Whiskey Myers, long list of worthwhile acts. And the peak of probably the peak of my excitement for Whiskey Myers, I got booked to open up for Cody Cannon at a sold out show. And that was probably a big highlight as far as, you know, opening up for people. Everlast was a really big deal too, because our styles align a lot. He's, you know, I think of him as kind of an acoustic hip hop artist, and that's kind of what I am too, in a sense. So that was a really aligned show for me. But, you know, opening up for Bone and Devin the Dude and Lupe Fiasco and B.O.B., I mean, those are gigantic shows, you know. And it's, there's, those kinds of shows are memorable to other people as well. You know, when people go to a local show, it's like, oh yeah, this is cool. But the excitement that comes for your supporters when you share the stage with a, you know, world renowned artist is something different, you know? And it's we try to keep it humble around here, but we've done some dope shit. So
just own it. It's fine. You don't have to be humble on that. This is enlightened conversations. We talk real shit.
Hey, I'm with it. I'm with it. And regarding shows and performances and whatnot, after COVID hit, I did a big pivot where I do a lot of solo acoustic cover shows these days. And prior to COVID, that wasn't something that I was doing a lot of. So I do a lot of those types of shows, but one of my favorite things to do is house concerts. And so if anybody that's listening is interested, I would love to do one at your home. It's It's nothing complicated. It is something.
So much fun. It is
yes.
So much fun. It is. It's one of the best events that I've had at my house, and everybody loved it. I actually want to have you back out again.
I'm totally down. It's something that, you know, the big shows are awesome, but those are my favorite things to do because of the connections that you have with people after. It's such an intimate storytelling thing, and yes, my solo music works very well for that atmosphere because there's always in-depth things that are attached to my song. I don't just throw songs out. Everything has a meaning, and being able to communicate those meanings in an intimate environment is so dope. And so yeah, if anybody's interested, it's pretty much like a dinner party, except I bring an acoustic guitar and sit on your couch and play songs. No sound system. I just bring some merch. Yeah. Rock Pit Ranch. If y'all don't know about that, y'all need to check that out too. That's coming up in May over Memorial Day weekend. So if you're interested in that, look up rockpitranch.com and we'll be. Hey, you can, if you want to, you can cut that out. I ain't tripping.
No, I'm just kidding. If they're supposed to be there, they're supposed to be there. It's
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you again for jumping on with me. I really, really do appreciate you. I love everything that you bring to the world. So thanks for getting on here with me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And we'll do a Barnyardist episode soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like sooner rather than later. All right, guys. Tune in next week here. Us with Get Enlightened with Lauren Scott. Thanks again, Justin. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Braids of Absolute Truth.com.